إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله عليه وسلامه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته أجمعين يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله we're going to continue inshallah ta'ala with the final sense of the five senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with as human beings and those five apertures that we recognize and interpret the world around us with. We've spoken about the sense of sight, we've spoken about the sense of smell, we've spoken about the sense of hearing and taste, and now we are going to inshallah ta'ala speak about the last and final sense, which is touch. Yeah, mashallah, one guy sahi in the whole room. So the sense of touch. Now obviously this the physical touch is something that we all can agree on, and it's universal and everybody has the same thing. We all smell different things, we all see things differently and so on and so forth. Maybe we hear things differently as well. Some people understand a certain language, other people don't understand that language. So all of these faculties, they may differ from one person to another. But everybody knows that when they touch fire, it's hot. And everybody knows that when they touch silk, it's so nice and soft. And everybody knows that after a hard day's work, when they go and lie down onto that soft Emma mattress, Allahu Akbar. What a wonderful night's sleep they're going to have. So pick whatever brand you want. There's no brand loyalty here, guys. So everybody recognizes this stuff. And now our physical touch has a causational reaction to our bodies, and thus it sends off stimulus into our minds and so on and so forth. And there's all sorts of things going on inside of us as a result of the things that we touch. And as a result of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognizing His creation and knowing what He has created, has put certain ahkam at the same level of what you touch and what you feel. So there are certain things that you are allowed to touch and that are perfectly permissible for you to touch and feel and do whatever you want with. And there are certain things that are absolutely haram and across the red line that you cannot touch and cannot feel, even if you wanted to. And there are certain things that are halal for haram for a certain period of time, but if you were to do X, Y, Z, it becomes halal thereafter, right? And all of that is in recognition that the fact that this faculty has an effect on what we do. Now, for example, there are certain things that we need to do in order to become pure, and there's certain things that we do that make us impure. Ritually, I mean. Don't mean that the person himself or herself is impure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created all of us with a nobility and status with Him. So a person isn't impure in and of his own self. But there are certain things that one can do. Now, in order to make ourselves pure, what do we do ritualistically? What do? We make wudu. That means we have to touch the water, we have to feel it and so on and so forth. It has to be tahir, mutahir and so on and so forth. All of these conditions and whatnot. There are certain body parts that we have to go over, and we have to make sure that we touch those body parts in order for the water to get to those body parts, in order for us to be ritualistically pure so that we can stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Allahu Akbar, and our salah will be accepted. And on the flip side, there are certain things that we do that will break that wudu. And there are certain things that we can touch that will break that wudu. There's kids here, so I'm not going to go into too many details about what you can and cannot touch, but every guy and girl knows who's reached a certain age will know what I'm talking about. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says this in the Quran, and it's not something for us to be shy of, but there are certain things that when we go to the loo and when we relieve ourselves, we have to then break our wudu. That is something that happens to us physically. Another thing that happens to us physically is when we are with our wives, and our wives are with their husbands. There are certain things that they do that will break their wudu. And in the 21st century, there are young men, and perhaps women, that will do things on their own that will also break their wudu. And that involves, I see you shaking your head, but you know what I'm talking about, even if you say no, brother. No, astaghfirullah. But it's something that happens. And fathers out there, and mothers, Don't think that you leave your son or your daughter alone with their iPhones and with their smartphones and they have pure access to the internet. They're not going to be watching and looking at stuff that's haram for them to see and look at, right? And they're not going to be doing things that's going to be haram for them to do as well. Now that ada sirriya, that act, is not necessarily haram, it's actually makruh in its in the hukm of it. But you need to see something in order to have that stimulus. Do you understand? And that stuff is haram. Haram. And the only reason why you do it is because you think that Allah Azza wa Jalla is not watching you. You have to recognize that Allah is seeing you and hearing you and knows exactly what you do at every waking second and every sleeping second of your life. And that you are going to be held accountable for what you do. And don't ever, ever think that I am not in control of my body. There are certain feelings and certain urges that I get that I can't control. What am I supposed to do with that? La, what's going on? Is someone controlling your body for you right now? You are in charge of what happens to you. You decide, you choose. And when you make that choice, you have to bear the consequences of that. You may not see it in this world. Actually, no, you will see it in this world because you become all like insecure around other people. But you will certainly see it in the Akhirah. So there are certain things that we do with regards to our sense of touch that will break things. Certain things as well with regards to buying and selling that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made haram. There are certain gharar in it. Now in today's society, we buy and sell and we don't even see the products that we are buying and selling, right? We drop ship, we do all sorts of stuff, right? We are like the middlemen in a sale. We haven't even seen the thing that or also hasn't seen the thing that they're selling. But they're buying it anyway, and they're buying it from millions of miles away, from across the world, from China, and it's being shipped and it will come in like 3 days, right? And all you see is a picture. Does that picture represent the truth or not the truth, and so on and so forth. Back in the day, these types of sales were haram. Now, today, it's the risk of those types of transactions are very, very minimal, so it doesn't have the same level of hurmah. But the basis of it, if a person is to buy and sell something that they have absolutely no knowledge over what they're going to be buying, they haven't seen what they are going to be buying, nor have they touched what they are going to buy, then it's not permissible for them to buy that thing. It's not permissible for you to sell that thing to them. Obviously, we don't trade like that, but this is called bay' al-mulabasa and bay' al-munabada, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made these things haram. So there are certain ahkam with regards to what we can sense and what we can feel that make things halal and haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, going back to that previous point, لِأَنْ يُطْعَنَ فِي رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ بِمِخْيَطٍ مِّنْ حَدِيدٍ خَيْرٌ لَهُ مِّنْ أَنْ يَمَسَّ امْرَأَةً لَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in an authentic hadith, it's in Mu'jam al-Tabarani, Al-Albani has narrated or graded this hadith authentic, that a man, a boy, a male in that regard, but a female nonetheless, it is better for them to be struck in the head with a nail, straight through the head. That is better for them than to touch a person from the opposite sex that they are not allowed to touch. Yo, that is pretty stark. And the reason why that is because zina is a terrible, terrible sin. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says regarding it, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقَتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. I don't know of any major sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes in such descriptive terms and so many descriptions as well after it, like he does with zina. Everything is like فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَبِئْسَ الْمَصِيرُ, describing that their ultimate abode is going to be in Jahannam. Whether that's whether they deal in riba, or which is going to come up inshallah, or whether they do any other type of sin, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those sins is that their ultimate abode will be Jahannam, or they will have a severe punishment, and whoever does that, then he has fallen into dhulmun azeem or something like that. But when it comes to zina, he says, do not get close to zina. Don't even take the footsteps that get you there. Don't walk towards it, let alone do it. Don't put yourself in that compromising position in the first place. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. It is a grave and lewd thing for you to do. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقَتًا. It is a source of severe disappointment for yourself, from Allah, from society around you. And it breaks ties and so on and so forth. It destroys families. It destroys the psyches of people. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And it is a dangerous path and a wrong path and a path that will ultimately take you to a terrible destination. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it is that do not get close, meaning that we as human beings are not just susceptible to what we physically touch directly, rather we are susceptible to those things that are in our vicinity as well. Those things that are around us. We don't have to touch them, but we just have to be around them and they will have an effect on us. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says regarding Isa alayhi salam, when he was giving his da'wah and he was calling people to Islam, calling people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Tawheed, his people, he sensed from them a rejection. He sensed it from them, just being in their company. فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرَ قَالَ مَنْ أَنصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ فَلَمَّا أَحَسَّ عِيسَى مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرَ. He was just around them in their vicinity. He was calling them to Allah and he sensed from them a kufr. And when he sensed from them a kufr, he turned to his people and he said, مَنْ أَنصَارِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who are my helpers who are going to take me to Allah? Who are going to help guide towards Allah? Who are going to stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim while everyone else is falling into their desires? While everyone else is doing haram and dhulm and stealing from each other and skullduggery and backstabbing and doing all sorts? Who is going to be my aid? Who is going to be my boy? Who's going to be my guy who's going to help me? قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنصَارُ اللَّهِ. And so his companions, his compatriots, they stood up and they said, we are your helpers to Allah. Why did he say that though? Because when he felt from them a kufr, he felt from them a ghadr. He felt that these guys are going to stab me in the back. These guys are going to pull me down. I'm not asking from them a wage. I'm not asking from them any money. I'm not asking from them anything. Rather, I'm just telling them, this is the way of Allah that He is calling you to. Follow it. And if after that they still want to kill me, and you can sense that off them, right? Has it not happened to any one of you where you guys are in a room and you meet someone for the first time, or maybe the second time, or however many times you met them, but you meet them, and sometimes you just click. You know, this guy's amazing, man. This guy's my boy, mashallah, man. I really like this guy, man. There's something about him, man, that's just really good. And the opposite is true. That you meet someone for the first time, you're like, you know what, man? Bit of a waste, man. I don't really like him. There's something about him that's off-key. I can't really put my finger on it, but I know there's something about this man that's off-key. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he said, الْأَرْوَاحُ جُنُودٌ مُجَنَّدَ فَمَا تَعَارَفَ مِنْهَا اِعْتَلَفْ وَمَا تَنَافَرَ مِنْهَا اِخْتَلَفْ. That your souls are like جُنُودٌ مُجَنَّدَ. They are like soldiers in an army. That's like a literal translation. But what that means is that like they're compatriots, they're companions, right? The ones that get along, they get along and they come together in this world. And what he's talking about is, I don't know if you remember a couple of khutbas ago, we spoke about the day of Arafah and we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in our souls and He got us all together and He made us bear witness that He is our Lord and so on and so forth, right? Referring to the ayah, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. Anybody remember? Of course not, we all forget. But the point is, that particular mashhad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Aisha radiallahu anha, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is talking about that particular mashhad, that there, we were in our little groups, even then. And the people that we got along with, and we saw eye to eye with, and they were on the same path as us, we stood with them in their groups, and we said, Bala shahidna. And those who we weren't going to get along with, these people who were like, yo, these guys are going to be kuffar in the dunya, these guys are going to be like all rolling in zina and riba and doing all sorts of haram, and you know, I'm bani halal, mashallah, I want to be on the right path, so I don't want to mix up with these guys, and so on and so forth, so they're going to be in their different group, and so on and so forth. So those are the people that we tanafara minha, we don't get along with, we just don't get along with, right? That's in your vicinity. You don't have to touch them, you don't have to feel them, you don't have to say anything to them, you just know, you just sense it. So that's regarding things in your vicinity. And there are obviously metaphysical touches. There are things that we can't sense and we don't realize, but they are having an effect on us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that, and the Prophet ﷺ describes that in his sunnah. One of the things that he says is, وَلَنَصِيفُهَا عَلَى رَأْسِهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Right? Metaphysical things, things that are out of this world. And one of the things that are out of this world to touch is the khimar on the hur in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said regarding that little piece of material that it is better than everything in this dunya. خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Everything about this dunya and everything in this dunya. Much better. That's regarding Al-Jannah. Metaphysical touches. There are metaphysical touches that happen also in this world as well. We've been speaking a lot about sins and stuff, right? And we mentioned the word riba a lot. Dealing in interest, doing usury and stuff like that. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this particular concept and this particular sin is amazing in the Quran, right? He says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى. Those who eat riba, right? Not even deal it, they eat it, right? This is their livelihood. لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. They don't walk around, they don't stand up, except they like fall around and like they're walking around like they're drunk. They can't stand and walk in a straight line. They're all over the place. 1 minute they're walking to the right, 1 minute they're walking to the left, they're slurring in their speech, they're all over the place. They don't make sense.
كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس.
Right? It's like Shaitan has touched him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this word mas. Mas means to touch. Might be like this. That's mas. Right? That is the person who deals in riba. And mas here, Abdullah ibn Abbas said, mas means junoon, means someone's gone crazy. Right? And we think about this world today, right? And people in the upper echelons of society, those guys who like not in charge of the banks but run the banks themselves, tell the banks what to do, and then the CEOs of the banks are just, you know, okay, all right, we'll do this fiscal policy or whatever and put that in place, and you know what I mean? Quantitative easing and all that other nonsense that they talk about, right? People up there in the upper echelons of society, now I've never been there, but I know people who are there, and I've seen people who have come back from there in a terrible state. But they talk about the decisions that these guys make that are so wholly disconnected from society itself, that they are not out for the interests of society. They're not looking out for me and you, the average Joe. They're not seeing how whatever decisions they make affect us in whatever way. They make certain decisions and you think, why on earth are they doing that? That's crazy, man. Do they not see that, you know, this world is falling apart? Do they not see that it's going to have an adverse effect in, like, you know, some part of the world, somewhere else where all these poor people are? All right, it may not affect us directly, but indirectly it does, because it's a domino effect. But we think, like, aren't these guys going crazy with their decision making? Aren't they nuts? And then they have the audacity to tell us that global warming is happening and we need to cut down on all these like things that we're doing in our lives, and they're buying like beachfront properties and they're flying around in their jet planes and they're doing all sorts of these things, right? Where is their carbon footprint? Why aren't they worried about the rising sea levels? What's going on? Why are they lying to us? They're going crazy. Why? يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. Shaitan has touched them and they don't even know. And another metaphysical touch is that touch which they don't recognize and they don't understand. And that's their reality. Do you not see Gaza right now getting blown up? Why? For what reason? What's going on there now? Was there any provocation beforehand? I didn't see any provocation. Unless they know something that we don't know. La. But it's still being bombed. And if you were to ask them, it's all about security and safety and so on and so forth. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. We are those who are rectifying the land. And we are making sure that everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we're making sure that there's peace and safety and security. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Verily, they are those who spread corruption, but they do not feel it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who can feel iman in our hearts and minds and in our actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who can feel the oppression and stand against it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to use our faculties for His worship and His servitude and for the benefit of mankind. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. عباد الله, there's an hour in the day of Jumu'ah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked him an hour, He doesn't leave the one who asks Him empty-handed. Hope and pray that this is that hour. So we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Him from the bottom of our hearts with the utmost sincerity to forgive our sins, overlook our shortcomings, and save us from the punishment of the hellfire. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. عباد الله, رحمكم الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العلي الجليل.